This is Andrew Phipps, and it's wonderful to have you on board with us today for our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast. I hope that you might invite a friend, a neighbor, colleague, and tell them that I think this program is going to be very helpful, inspirational, and also educational. What an honor to have you with us today. We're going to get right into the program because we have so much packed within this time frame. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3 tonight. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Thank you, dear Lord, for your word. Help us now that we would try to do our best in the moments that we have. I want to talk tonight on the danger of lukewarmness. I believe that it is a danger. And I want to share some thoughts with you tonight that, you know, life in Christ is a relationship and not a formula. So there is no formula that I know of to fix the lukewarm life. You could say, well, we could do one, two, and so on. If you can try to imagine fixing a marriage relationship with a formula, then that is about what it would feel like to try to fix a lukewarm relationship with the Lord. The same applies for our relationship. Relationship problems are always an effect of inattentiveness. May I say that again? Relationship problems are always an effect of inattentiveness. If there's a problem in your marriage or my marriage, I'll use myself, it may be because of inattentiveness. Maybe there is a lack of communication or a failure to keep your marriage alive. Maybe something else, like your job or a hobby, drives a wedge between you and your beloved. The same applies for our relationship with Christ. Is there a lack of communication or failure to keep Christ the most important relationship in my life? We must remember we got to keep first things first. The danger of lukewarmness, as I see it, is that we may lose our fervor. Now, I'm not going to tell somebody that just simply because they didn't come to church and they watched the Super Bowl, that means they are lukewarm. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that just because you don't go to the altar every time, that means you are lukewarm. There may be people that go to the altar quite a little bit because they feel they need to go, that they need the help of the Lord. Others may pray in their seat or somewhere else. I think as you get a little bit older, you start becoming a little bit less judgmental. Now, I know we can judge according to the Bible, and I'm not saying that. But the thing in lukewarmness that I see is that people become lethargic. You can get to the point where you're not necessarily all in or you're not all out. It's kind of like trying to eat cold sausage gravy that's cold. Maybe you put it out in the outside and it got cold and the biscuits are cold. It's just not very palatable. Or, for example, you get a soft drink that you've kept in the car and the sun has beamed right into it and you think, my, take a sip of that Coca-Cola or whatever it is and you think, my, I don't think I want this. I want plenty of ice in the glass. I like for my water to be cold. Ice. I even like a little ice from time to time if I can get it in my soft drink. But you see, you can't build a church upon lukewarmness. I think it's a personal thing. In the wall, when Nehemiah was building the walls there in Jerusalem, it said that the people had a mind to work. Now, I am here to tell you tonight, I don't have a formula. I can't say if you will read so many scriptures, and we ought to, as the pastor reminded us. I agree completely. Maybe we need to pray more, but I'm not saying that necessarily, quantity is no definition of quality. I think it's your desire, my desire, do we want to be close to the Lord? I think if we, the people here at Laodicea, as was brought out today, the people thought differently of where they were, and more importantly, than did the Lord. They thought that the buildings and that they were doing a lot of works. Now listen, you can do a lot of work at the church, and I believe still be lukewarm. I'm not saying because you come and do this or that, and it's all needful. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just simply saying this. If there's no risk, there's no gains. You got to be willing. I think when I study people, and I just tried recently to got our books, and I appreciate that, and I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on anything. I tell people that repeatedly. But I think what I see is that sometimes, if we're not careful, the relationship will get cold before we know it. Sometimes I think it will cool before we know it. See, the church at Ephesus spiritually was on fire in the midst of one of the most pagan cities of Asia. Ephesus was. Sardis was a powerless church. Philadelphia was a preserving church. But here, in this lukewarmness, there's something about it that God doesn't like. Could we use the word, I think preachers have in the past, that it made God sick, the lukewarmness? I know this, it says he would spew them out of his mouth. Does that mean what we would describe when people regurgitate or whatever? My point being this, God asked them to repent. And it's needful that you and I repent from time to time. I'm not saying that we have to just go around like maybe some religious groups where they just chant repeatedly, but I'm simply saying this. I believe that it would be easy to become lukewarm, where you're not necessarily craving or not necessarily not craving, but you're just somewhere there in a state of fluidity where you can just go either way. Oh yeah, I think I'll go today. Well, maybe. Oh no, I don't think I'll go today. I've found this to be true. Maybe you are different from me. But when I would do good, evil is present with me. Sometimes when I would study my Bible, seemed like that can become the hardest time for me. Satan will put up a lot of roadblocks or things to hinder. I get up early. I got up early this morning. And I don't know what that means or constitutes. I'm not saying you got to get up early. I'm just simply saying you'll get up early. And you think, boy, this is a good time to read or study. If you're not careful, that time will slip away from you. There's only one person that I always know when I get up has gotten up earlier than me, and that's Cousin Mary. You can't get up sooner than Miss Mary. You can't. You can set your clock at 1 o'clock and she'll be up at 12:48. And it's just the way it is with her. The Lord, I will say this, the danger of lukewarmness is that the Lord wants fellowship with us. And if we aren't where we can have fellowship, we're in a bad situation. I mean, the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Evidently, it's so important that we need to have an ear that would listen. Now, I can get up and tell people, I can jump up and down, I can do whatever I want, but no one knows the state of another person's heart. This is a personal thing between a Christian and Jesus. I mean, it doesn't mean, as I said earlier, that because you don't go to the altar doesn't mean that you're lukewarm. The only cure for lukewarmness is a reestablishment of Jesus Christ as my first priority or my first love. Friends, in the modern age, I know there are many people that are trying to redefine the gospel. They're trying to come up maybe with a different way, perhaps realizing and thinking that good works will be meritorious in themselves. But the late Charles Spurgeon had a wonderful quote. He said, "If you are to be saved, you must be saved as a sinner. Or not at all. For Christ has not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You must be saved through the merits of another and washed from sin in the precious blood of Jesus. Your own works must not have a finger in it. It must be by grace and grace alone." when we realize that if you tried to add one thimble of works to an ocean of grace, it would no longer be grace. I think we will be progressing and being illuminated to some wonderful truths. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is Andrew Phipps, and I hope you have a wonderful day. If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Go from here. Let's just face the fact. America is in decline, whether we judge financially, spiritually, politically, or educationally. America is in decline. This has not happened overnight, but there has been a constant and intensifying drumbeat of organized and hostile atheism coming out of our tax-supported colleges and the universities for at least the last 65 years. As the last three generations of scholars have entered the workplace and institutions of government, there has first been the exclusion of God. And now we are witnessing what it means to live without God's laws and the church's influence. For a refresher, people need to know what Christianity has given us. It has given us hospitals and libraries that were kept by the early churchmen. Christianity has given us the middle class by insisting that every healthy man should work and not be given handouts. Christianity has inspired the world's greatest artwork and art collections, as well as the most beautiful music, such as Handel's Messiah. Christianity is the backbone of most charitable giving. What other organizations ask for 10% of its members' earnings in order to do good for others? And Christianity has made world-class leaders ask themselves not, can I destroy these people, but should I destroy these people? Christianity is responsible for our understanding of ought and ought not. There are so many others. Christianity has also given us the concept of how to live with our neighbors and our leaders honestly. As we feel our Christian underpinnings slip out from under us. We see and prepare for a darker horizon and reality where our leaders continue to break their bond with their constituents. Because of that, we will continue to be lied to about everything, from pandemics to finances, from borders to crime rates, from elections to education, and from health care to the environment. And many God-fearing patriots are being jailed by the United States government just for speaking out against the current state of our world. It is not going to get any better, barring a miracle. So then, where do we go from here? I want to suggest that we should stop looking at America as a Christian nation with a lot of great churches in it and begin looking at America as a non-Christian nation with some strong Christian influences, but whose messages are being overwhelmed by society's noise. We need to believe that we are living in enemy territory and treated as such so that we can reestablish what is salvageable. Leaders like John Jay, Patrick Henry, and Benjamin Rush of the American Revolution are exceptional models. They were Christians who stood for Christ. Benjamin Rush once said, when asked about his politics, he replied, "I am a Christocrat." Christians need to make a pact with each other to do the following. One, repent for our individual indifference towards Christ and his gospel. Two, find a church that teaches and preaches a straight gospel and attend there regularly. A nation full of dying churches will not survive any serious attacks of Satan. Three, resolve to watch over everyone in our family and under our influence. Pray for them. And refuse to let the left or anyone at odds with the gospel misguide them. And finally, find a Christian and or a conservative cause to work for and do everything you can to see it succeed. God did not love David because David was perfect. God loved David especially because he was obedient to act when God urged him. We can all do the same.
In Moscow, the premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, jabbed his finger into my chest and said, "Your grandchildren will live under communism." And I responded, "Your grandchildren will live in freedom." Thanks in great part to the strong, idealistic leadership of President Ronald Reagan, Khrushchev's grandchildren now live in freedom.
And friends, we must continue to speak truth to error. And I know sometimes it can be sobering, and sometimes it can be almost, we might say, well, negative. But the realism is that we've got a great responsibility and perhaps an even greater need to share the truth with all those around us. We cannot allow our country to continue with insecure borders, with people wanting to change everything, like even when you say parent, you ought to maybe give it a neuter type name, I don't know, call it something. But what ridiculous things are being promulgated in the public square today? Things that go against our values that we've always shared and believed as Americans, as Christians. And we're asking folks to do things and say things and act politically correct and act in accordance with wokeism and critical culture type thinking, and it has brought us to our knees, so to speak, financially and every other way. And we are the laughing stock among many of our own people. I never thought the time would come when we would have to fight our own people to just advance and maintain what we know to be civil and noble. I hope you enjoy the program. We're going to speak as best we can in every aspect. Pray for us. We'll look forward to being with you again at the very next opportunity. Go to our website, Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom. We hope you have a great day, and thanks again for joining us. This is Andrew Phipps.